Okay, we're starting on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara is speaking back to the Tosefta again. Tosefta gave a list of items that were classified as a Karmelit. It says Yam, Bik'a, Isbanit, and then Karmelit. The Gemara here wants to understand, how could it be that those are examples of a Karmelit, and then a Karmelit is an example of a Karmelit? How does that work? Gemara says, Va Karmelit, Atakulu, Nami Lav Karmelit, Ninu. What do you mean a Karmelit? All of those items are listed as a Karmelit. Ki Ata Rav Dimi Am Rabbi Yochanan, No Nitzrecha, Ela Keren Zavit, Hasmucha L'Rishut HaRabim. It's talking about a corner of a house that is close to the Rishut HaRabim. Even though there are periods of time where the Rabim will push into that area, since it's not, or does not have, ease of use, it's not classified as a Rishut HaRabim, but rather as a Karmelit. This is similar to what we saw before by the Stav, the Istvanit, all of these examples where it's accessible to the Rabim, it's part of the public domain, but it doesn't have ease of use. There's something that's inhibiting the use of this area. So over there it was the colonnades. It was the merchants that were causing the problem. Over here, the Karmelit is being inhibited by the nature of the space that's allocated to the Rabim. Rashi gives two explanations of it. One explanation is that a person has, along the face of Rishut HaRabim, he has a wall, and he brings the wall inward on an angle. By bringing the wall in on an angle, and then having something that butts out, it's going to cause that the area is adjacent to the Rishut HaRabim, and people can go there, but nobody's going to walk there all the time, because they're going to bump into the end of the wall when they hit that adjacent piece that is sticking out. Or in a Keren Zavit, where he allocated at the corner of his house, he allocated some of that space to the Rishut HaRabim, but it's, again, it's not easy to use, because the other wall sticks out, or something blocks the ease of use of that corner. So because of that, it classifies as a Karmelit, and not a Rishut HaRabim. Ki Ata Rav Dimi, Am Rav Yochanan, Ben Amudim Nidon Ki Karmelit. Between the Amudim has a din like a Karmelit. My time, what's the reason here? I'll explain this in 1 second. Afagav the Darse Bar Rabim. Even though the public does go through there, Kevlo Demistage Luhu Behedja Ki Karmelit Damya. Since it's not a clear flow of traffic, an open, clear flow of traffic, that is not considered to be Rishut HaRabim, rather a Karmelit. The Amudim are, based on what Rashi explains here, they're Amudim b'rechava v'tolim behen atagrim pragmatia. They were poles upon which the merchants hung their merchandise. They were selling posts in the Rishut HaRabim. And besides that, there were low colonnades, benches, something in front of them on which the merchants sat, while they sold their merchandise, their wares, that they hung on these poles. So these poles are distributed in the middle of the Rishut HaRabim. And the statement that Rav Dimi Amar Yochanan says that the space between the poles, even though there's nothing inhibiting that area, and the public does travel through that area because it is a thoroughfare, the problem is that it's just not easy to use. You have to wind your way between the merchants, you have to wind your way between the poles, the tzabot, and therefore it's classified as a Karmelit. Right. The car, though, is more clear down the middle. See, in the middle area, it's clear. Here, it seems to be like it was an area that was distributed randomly amongst the public area, somewhere akin to what they do at an airport. When you go out towards the gate, they force you to walk between the stores and wind your way through the stores so that you obviously would buy things. The same idea, that you have merchants that are there, and they'd make it so that you can't just walk a straight line to where you want to go. You have to wind your way between the merchants. The benches or low colonnades areas that are in front of the Amudim, they have a din of a Karmelit. Obviously, this is in distinction to what we just saw from Rabbi Yochanan, who says Ben Amudim. Any space between the Amudim is classified as a Karmelit. Over here, Rabbi Zeira Miryuda says it's only the Itzdabot, only places that are taken away from the actual public domain are considered Karmelit, but the space between them is classified as a Rishut HaRabim. So Gemara says, the man d'amar ben amudim, the one who says ben amudim, that's Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Dima, Rabbi Yochanan, koshkein itzdaba. Of course, the itzdaba is classified as a Karmelit, because you can't walk there. These are areas that are raised, or platforms that are above the ground level. Of course, that's considered a Karmelit. The man d'amar itzdaba, the one who says that the itzdaba is classified as a Karmelit, itzdaba hu d'lo necha tashmishtei. The itzdaba is not easy to work with, meaning that it's above the ground, it's a platform, it's a bench. You don't usually walk there. It causes difficulty in your ability to maneuver. Aval bena mudim, in the space between the merchants, there, denecha tashmishtei, you can use it. Lo, in that case, it will not be classified as a Karmelit, because It's accessible to the rabbim. People pass through there. Lishna achrina. Another way to express this is avol ben amadim de zimnin darsi le rabbim kashrut rabbim damyo. Two different ways to formulate it. One way to formulate it is that between the amudim is easy to use. I mean, everything is relative. Relative to the amudim themselves and the itz debaot, the space in between is easy to use, and therefore is classified as rishut rabbim. The other way to express it is because came in the darsi le rabbim kashrut rabbim damyo. Since the rabbim expand into that area, when necessary, they use it, or they're forced to utilize that area, and becomes a reshut rabbim, or is classified as a reshut rabbim. What's interesting here, Tosafot is trying to deal with this issue, which is that we already know that the definition of reshut rabbim is 16 amot wide, and then you have to have, question, we talked about this before yesterday, whether you need 600,000 people. But just with the 16 amot wide classification here, you have a problem. These amudim knock down the size of the road, and it's no longer 16 amot wide. So Tosafot says over here, "Pershut rabim dami afo pish imba bein amud amud ted zayin amot." Even though between the merchant stalls there aren't 16 amot, have a reshut rabim, it's still classified as a reshut rabim. Kevon shebnei reshut rabim book imba, they push through that area. V'chutz leben amudim rachav shisha asar ma. And if you just imagine that the amudim weren't there, the stalls weren't there, it would be 16 amot. So it does what it's saying is that it has the qualification of the 16 amot with, if you imagine the amudim not being there. Then when the amudim are there, that doesn't diminish the fact that there's 16 amot. Just makes it more difficult to use the 16 amot. And that's basically what the machloket is here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, that difficulty makes it that it's no longer reshut rabim, because it doesn't have the full width of the 16 amot, the full ease of the 16 amot. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's the way the rabim's gonna move. This is the thoroughfare. There's no other way to access through here, and therefore, since everybody's going to move through there, that is classified as a reshut rabim now. Here, this doesn't seem to be similar to what we saw before, what David just mentioned by the stavak, the cardo, where there's an allocated space on the side. This seems to be more that it's distributed amongst the very randomly or in the middle of the road. It's not like it's on the side of the road. There's an Amar Rabbi Rishil Amar Rav Chista. The Venas Gufa Birshut Rabim. You have a brick that is standing up in the Rishut Rabim, Vizarak, and he throws it, Vitach Bifanel Chayav. It sticks to the face of the brick, then you're Chayav. Al Gaba Patur. On its back, if it sits on top of the brick, then you are Patur. So this comes to the definition of a Makom Tur versus Rishut Rabim. What we're discussing here is throwing something Dalet Amot Rishut Rabim. So you have to have akira that it leaves, and then a hanacha, where it settles somewhere. So the idea here of being tach, that it sticks to the face of the brick, is that it settles. Gemara is going to deal with that at the end of today's daf. We're talking about something like a dvela, something that's sticky, that can stick onto the face of the brick, and therefore that will be considered its hanacha. What is the difference between the face of the brick and the top of the brick is, something's only classified as a karmelit, or a makom ptur, if it is a makom misuyam. It has to be a defined area that has utility. As Rashi explains over here, Chi amar lamata miyud baruch of dal karmelit, ukshein rachav dal makom ptur, haino betashmish hamesuyam. It has to have specific utility, has to be useful. Kagom gav levena, that's the top of the brick. Barosh hakotel, on top of the wall, or amud, on the top of some sort of colonnade or pillar. But when you're talking about the face of an object, that is not considered to be a makom misuyam. It's not a defined area of utility, and therefore it does not have a classification of makom ptur or karmelit. So over here, this brick that's standing there, if it hits the face of the brick, it's considered as if you're still in the reshut rabim. And if that is a distance of 4 amot, you're in violation of carrying 4 amot in the reshut rabim. And if it lands on the top surface of the brick, then you are patur, because you've landed on a makom patur. You've landed on an area that is defined, has utility, but is not reshut rabim anymore. So now you've thrown from reshut rabim into makom ptur. That is not a problem. Now we're going to have to define the dimensions here, exactly what's happening, and that the Gemara will do right now. It has to be at least 3 tefachim off the ground, delo darsi la rabim, so that the rabim don't trample it. Because if it's less than 3 tefachim off the ground, the assumption is that it's part of the reshut rabim. It's part of the topography of the reshut rabim. Reshut rabim is not always so flat. It has obstacles in it. As long as the obstacles are below 3 tefachim, people will step on it or step over it, and it'll be fine. As soon as it gets above 3 tefachim, then it's already considered to be a separate area from reshut rabim. So in order to gain its independence from the reshut rabim, to be a makom ptur or a karmelit, it has to be at least 3 tefachim high. And Rashi notes that a brick is 3 by 3, and its thickness has no definition. We don't know how thick the brick is, but it's at least 3x3. And a brick being 3x3, then we know that the top of the brick area, if it's sitting up on its side, right, the brick's not laying flat, it's up on its side, then it's at least 3 tefachim above the ground here, because the brick is a minimum of 3 tefachim high. So that area has to be above 3 tefachim in order to gain independence from the Rishut Rabim. Below 3 is not. Aval, hizmi v'higi, if you have hizmi as a sneh, it's like some sort of shrub, and the higi is kutzim or thorns, afagab d'lo gviyah shlosha, even if they're not 3 tefachim high, they still gain independence from Rishut HaRabim because of their difficulty to traverse. Nobody wants to walk through a shrubbery or through thorns, so therefore they're going to walk around them. By doing that, they gain independence from Rishut HaRabim. Even these situations, people will trample over them, they'll stomp over them, eventually they'll get crushed, and then nobody will mind walking over them. If you're talking about dung or excrement, that nobody wants to step into, and therefore it gains independence, even though it doesn't have that requisite 3 tefachim. Ravashi Amar Afilu Tzoa, even if there's dung or excrement there, people walk through it, and therefore you still need 3 tefachim in order to gain independence from the Rishut HaRabim. So that's one thing that we have to say here, is that it's above 3 tefachim. The other thing that we have to define here is when it sticks to its face. Rabbeinu Tam says, if it's above 3 tefachim, tzarech sheyeh bifaneh arba al arba'a. That the face of the brick has to be 4x4 tefachim at a minimum in order for it to stick to the face as a classification as being part of the Rishut HaRabim. Because if not, then it's as if it didn't land on the brick. The brick has to have some sort of significance to say that when it landed there, it landed on something. If it's less than 3 tefachim, then it didn't land on anything. It's like hanging out in the air. If it's 4x4, the Rabbeinu Tam says, that's enough to give it significance, that when it lands on there, it's called to be nach, to settle.
It's not even traveling through the earth, it's just sitting.
All right, so the Riva agrees with Shaul, says, I don't understand. You don't need 4x4. Kevin Shiruet Karka. Since it sees the ground, I mean the ground space is below it, Chashiv Kumunach, Gabi Karka, it's as if it's sitting on the ground. I mean, basically your claim, which is that if it's stuck there, it's as if it's on the ground because it stopped. It's not going anywhere, and therefore it's like it's on the ground. That's the Riva's position. Rabbeinu Tam says that that's not sufficient. That if it's above 3, you have to have 4x4 space, classified it as a settling on something. It has to land on something, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam says you need an area of significance. The Riva says you do not need that, and that it's sufficient to land on the brick as long as it sees the ground. As long as it has the ability to be in line with the ground space, that's enough, because it's as if it's settled on the ground, and that's fine. If it's 3x3, it's still the ground. It's as if it landed on the Rishut HaRabim. Anything below 3 tefachim, it's as if it landed in Rishut HaRabim. Level. I mean, here it's not exactly level. Here it's just because the Rabim will trample it. It'll become a part of the normal topography of the Rishut HaRabim. It works with the same principles of level, but it's really because it becomes part and parcel of Rishut HaRabim. Even though people don't trample on it, they might. People aren't discerning about what's going on in Rishut HaRabim, so they stamp it on anything. It's there. Otherwise, you have to say what you're saying, which is batel the Gabi Rishut HaRabim, because it's within 3 tefachim. Those are the two possibilities of explaining Rav Ashi. Amar Rabba de Beit Rav Shila, Rabba of the Beis Medrash Rav Shila, Yata Rav Dima Am Rav Yochanan, Ein Karmelit Pchuta Mi'arba'a. There's no Karmelit that is less than 4x4 tefachim. Karmelit cannot be less than 4x4 tefachim. We've mentioned this a number of times. Here you have it now spelled out, which is a Karmelit has to have at least 4x4 to be a significant location to be classified as a Karmelit. Vam Rav Sheshet V'tofeset Ad Asara. And that's to reach until 10 tefachim. It's not clear here what that means. The Gemara is going to try to understand that statement of Rav Sheshet. My V'tofeset Ad Asara. What does it mean that it has to reach until then? Ilei mudi'ika mechitza asarahu, dahavi karmelit. Only if you reach 10 tefachim high mechitzot, is that classified as a karmelit. Vilo, and if not lo havi karmelit, it's not a karmelit.
Rashi takes this literally and says that you would have to have like a bik'ah that was mukaf, shalola dira, karpaf, that was greater than 2 sad times, that did not have residence in it. It would have to have a wall around it in order to be classified as a karmelit. Tosafot says, how could that be? On yesterday's daf, we saw both according to Rav Ashi and Ula, that is classified as a Rishut HaYachid, not as a Karmelit. The Ri suggests that what we're speaking about here is that it has to be Ra'ui the Mechitzot Asara. It has to have the ability to have Mechitzot that are 10 tefachim high around it, to exclude a case where it's Mesuchachet. It has some sort of covering over it that is less than 10 tefachim, which would never qualify as a Karmelit. So Rashi talks about it in the practical sense, it would have to have 10 tefachim high Mechitzot. That's what it says. That already is a Mirshut Yachid Min HaTorah. How could you call that a Karmelit? Ella, it's talking about the theoretical ability to have 10 tefachim high mechitzot around it to exclude a case where it is roofed somehow.
Velo, is that really true? V'amar v'gidol merav. Chir bar Yosef amar Rav, bayit she'ein betocho asara. The house that doesn't have 10 tefachim with inside of it. Kruyav mashlimo la'asara. And its ceiling makes up the 10. Al galgo mutar l'taltel b'kulo. On the roof, you can carry anywhere you want. Bitocho, inside of it, in metaltein bo eladalad amot. You can only carry it for amot. So what you have here is a house that is less than 10 tefachim high. It's 4x4, obviously, because you can carry 4 amot here, but it's at least 4x4 tefachim. But it doesn't reach the 10 tefachim high. If it was 10 tefachim high, it becomes a reshuta yachid. And that's what happens on the roof. When you stand on top of it now, you have the requisite 10 tefachim high, and the 4x4 tefachim, on top of it, it's considered to be a reshuta yachid, and you can carry whatever you want on top of it. Inside of it, you don't have the requisite 10 tefachim. So that means it's not a reshuta yachid. But yet, it has the minimum 4x4, and what do we see? You're not allowed to carry more than dalet amot inside of it, which means that it's classified as a carmelite. Well, here you see it's classified as a carmelite, even though it doesn't have 10 tefachim high. So they say that the minimum standard for carmelite is 10 tefachim high cannot be true. Because here we see explicitly that even when you're below 10 tefachim, it has a classification of a carmelite. So that can't be the explanation of Rav Sheshet's position or statement. Elamai v'tefeser adyud. Diad yud hu dehavi karmelit. Up to 10 tefachim is classified as a karmelit. The malami yud tefachim above 10 tefachim lo havi karmelit. It's no longer a karmelit. Now we're talking about here in places that are, as Rashi says, makom shalom suyam, non-defined spaces, a bika, a yam. Those areas are defined as a karmelit. They only are a karmelit up until the airspace of 10 tefachim above them. Up to 10 tefachim, they are considered to be a karmelit. Above that space, they are no longer considered to be a karmelit. Similar to Rishut Rabim. Just like Rishut Rabim is only tofes ad yud, so too a karmelit is only tofes ad yud. Now here we're talking about again, about makom mesuyam, defined locations, because if it's 4x4 and above 10, then you're Rishut Yachid. Even in the Rishut Rabim, if you have a space that's 4x4 above 10, it's Rishut Yachid. So that can't be what we're talking about. The other possibility is that it's below 10 and 4x4, that is a carmelite. So this definition is always talking about areas that are not defined spaces. Big areas that are considered carmelite, they only take their airspace up to 10 tefachim. The malam yud tefachim, above the 10 tefachim area, lo avi carmelite. V'chi ha, damale shmol, rav yudida shinina. So this is similar to what Shmuel said to his Talmud, rav yudida, the sharp one. Lo tavi bimile de shabta, le malam yud. In area of Shabbat, don't be above 10. What was he speaking about? If you're going to tell me that Rishut Yachid doesn't have a space, is not classified as Rishut Yachid above 10 tefachim, it's kana b'Rishut Yachid. Person drives a beam or some sort of pillar into the Rishut Yachid, b'zarak, and then they throw from Rishut Rabim, and it lands on top of it. Even if it's 100 amot off the ground, chayav, classified as Rishut Yachid, Mibnesh Rishut Yachid, Ole Adar Rekia goes up until the heavens. Rishut Yachid, the airspace of Rishut Yachid is the Rishut Yachid, period. So even though this pillar or this beam does not have 4x4 tefachim in it, when it lands on top of it, you're still within the Rishut Yachid. You don't need 4x4. It's all considered Rishut Yachid. It's as if that whole area is classified as a Rishut Yachid. Ella, then Rishut Rabim lamala miyud. What are you going to say that his statement here is that there is no Rishut Rabim above 10 tefachim? Matnitani. That's a straight out Mishnah. The Tanan, a Zarek, Dalet Amot Bikotel, someone who throws 4 Amot and it hits the wall and sticks to the wall, the Mala miyud tefachim, if it lands on the wall above 10 tefachim, Kizarek Bavir. It's like it's in the air. The Mata miyud tefachim is below 10 tefachim, Kizarek Baritz. It's like landed on the ground. If it lands in the air, it's a Makom Ptur, and you're Ptur. Lands on the ground, you're Chayav, because now you carry Dalet Amot in the Rishut HaRabim. Ella, what's it referring to? A Carmelite. Tein Carmelite, Mala miyud. And that would be similar to what Rav Sheshet just said before. Carmelite's airspace ends at 10 tefachim. And here comes the basic definition, Ba'akuli barabanim mikuli rishut yachid, mikuli rishut rabim. The rabbanim, when they established the Carmelite, they took the leniencies of rishut yachid and the leniencies of rishut rabim. Kikuli rishut yachid, the leniencies of rishut yachid, de'ika makom arba'a hu da'abi Carmelite. If it's 4x4 tzvachim, it has a classification of Carmelite, vilo makom p'tur ba'almu. Otherwise, it's a makom p'tur. That was a statement of Abai v'Rova. By Rava said the Kulei Rishut Yachid apply here that you need a minimum of 4x4 tefachim. The second Kulei Rishut Rabim is Ad Yud Tefachim Hu Dabi Karmelit. Till 10 tefachim, the airspace is classified as a Karmelit. Lamalam Yud Tefachim Lo Avi Karmelit. Similar to Rishut Rabim. And that'll be Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet was giving us the Kulei Rishut Rabim. So Bayan Rava gave us the Kulei, the leniencies in Rishut Yachid, of 4x4, and Rav Sheshit made the second statement, which was Tofezet Adasara, which is the Kulei Rishut Rabim. Just like Rishut Rabim only goes up to 10 Tvachim, so too, Karmelit goes up only up to 10 Tvachim. It's a Makom Patur, just like Rishut Rabim. It has the same status as Rishut Rabim, that above that 10 Tvachim will classify it as a Makom Patur. Gemara moves on, Gufa. The Gemara is going to keep doing this. It's going to keep doing a lot of this referencing back. We mentioned something in our discussion, now we want to go back and investigate it. We're going to have a series of these. Which is Gufa, Amrav Gidom Arav, Chiyabar Yosef Amar Rav, Be'ayit She'in L'Tocho Yud, a house that doesn't have 10 Tfachim high within it, Ve'Turu Yav, its ceiling, Mashlimo L'Yud, makes it up to 10 Tfachim, Al-Gago, if you're on top of it, Mutar L'Tadel B'Kulo, you can carry around everywhere there, it's a Rishut Yachid up there, Be'Tocho, inside of it, Eim Etal Tulim Bo, Ela B'Dalad Amot, you can only move Dalad Amot, because it's classified as a Carmelit on the inside. So now, Zamar Abayi, Ve'im Chokok Bo Dalad Al Dalad, if you dig out, in the center of the room, you dig out 4x4 tefachim, vishlim liyud. By digging a tefach down, a 4x4 space, a tefach down, now you've made it that you have the requisite 10 tefachim that you need. Mutar the tetel bikulo. Then you can carry around the whole thing, my time, have a chore rishut yachid. Because they become the space around that 4x4 tefachim space in the middle, become like holes of Rishut Yachid. The Chor Rishut Yachid, Rishut Yachid Dami. And holes of Rishut Yachid are like the Rishut Yachid, and that's your crawl space here. Crawl space is what's called Chor Rishut Yachid. If there is space that is adjacent to the Rishut Yachid, accessible through the Rishut Yachid, and the utility is for those people in the Rishut Yachid, they become an extension of the Rishut Yachid, and are classified like a Rishut Yachid. Chor Rishut Yachid. So what happens here is, you have the center piece, which is 4x4, that's 10 Tfachim high now. Around it, you have a large area that's not 10 tefachim high, that would otherwise be a Carmelit. But since they are considered to be extensions of the center Rishut Yechid, Chorei, things that are have utility to the person or the Rishut Yechid in the middle, therefore they're classified like Rishut Yechid. And we are Mar, Didmar. Chorei Rishut Yechid, Rishut Yechid. I mean, if you have a wall that stands between Rishut Yechid and Rishut Rabim, if there are holes from the Rishut Yachid side, they're classified like Rishut Yachid. Chorei Rishut Rabim, if you have the holes that enter from the Rishut Rabim side, then we have a machloket. The Bayer Mar, Rishut Rabim Dami. The Damu, they're like Rishut Rabim. Rabba Amar, Loav Rishut Rabim Dami. And we'll explain that in 1 second, what their machloket is. And what you have here is that, once I've classified or created a Rishut Yachid, then anything that extends off of the Rishut Yachid is part of the Rishut Yachid, or extension of the Rishut Yachid.
What is it? You know, we have a crawl space that has a door.
But that's equivalent to Chorei Rishut Yachid. I mean, you could open and close the door. You have access to it from the Rishut Yachid. It should be like Chorei Rishut Yachid. Right. But you have the same thing there. You have the outer walls of the house enclosing it. Now you have an area that extends off your Rishut Yachid. It's like Chorei Rishut Yachid. I think the crawl space would have that equivalent status of Chorei Rishut Yachid. What's interesting here, I'm bringing it up because just past Sukkot, Tosfos says, wait, by Sukkah this doesn't work. How come the Gemara in Sukkah said, if you have this exact situation in a sukkah, you have a sukkah that's 9 tefachim high, that has schach on top, or you can place the schach at 9 tefachim high. It's not a kosher sukkah, you need 10 tefachim, a kosher sukkah. So what do? You carve out the tefach space in the middle, 4x4 tefachim, and now you have a kosher sukkah, because you have the 10 tefachim. The Gemara says that's only true if there's less than 3 tefachim between that middle area that you carved out and the walls. So those would ask here, I don't understand. Over here, we say it doesn't matter how big the space is, and we say that the walls are part of their Rishut Yachid. They basically make it into Rishut Yachid. Well, you only have a tefach in that area in the middle. We're still saying the outer walls are creating the mechitzot for that middle area, no matter how far away they are. By sukkah, we're saying you have to have 3 tefachim. If it's not 3 tefachim away from the wall, it's not a sukkah anymore. Very good. So Tosfos basically answers what Roni's pointing out here, which is that in sukkah you need to have the walls touch the schach. The schach has to sit on the walls. So therefore the walls have to be significant or connected to the area that is 4x4 that's 10 tefachim high. That area has to be somewhat adjacent to the walls or part of the walls because the walls then touch the schach. And that's relevant that the walls touch the schach. On the other hand, by us, like Roni's pointing out, the only issue is that it's an enclosed area. As long as it's an enclosed area, it takes on the status of a Rishut Yachid. We don't need the walls to touch the ceiling. We just need walls that are 10 tefachim high. So it's irrelevant how far they are away from that centerpiece, as long as there are those walls there are those mechitzot there. That would be the key distinction. Even though by sukkah we say that Dalet Amot is a dofen akuma, that if you go up and then you have 4 amot of puzzle schach, puzzle area there, that's considered to be a part of the wall. So how come over here we require 3 tefachim and not Dalet Amot? So the Gemara says, it's a difference between whether you have mechitzot mal yalto or not mechitzot mal yalto. If you have a good wall, then you can have a dofen akuma for amot. Over here, you don't have a good wall. The area that's the 10 tefachim high is in the middle of the room. And you're now trying to extend out to the wall. Over there, you're not going to create a dofen akuma. Kasher schach could be a dofen akuma also. Kasher or a pasul schach could be a dofen akuma. That area is less than 10 tefachim high. That's the problem. That area is not a kasher sukkah area. So therefore, you're not going to say dofen akuma here, where you're already making a halachic wall by saying that, oh, I have the middle space, and then I'm trying to get the walls on the side to be included in that. And then I'm going to add dofen akuma. You can't build dofen akuma on top of a halachic wall. It can only start from realistic walls. When you have real walls, then you can have dofen akuma. Who says that a hole in the wall facing the Rishut Rabim is like Rishut Rabim? Why is that different in this case? Before we said, what is the area of a Carmelite? The area of a Carmelite is this area where you have a Keren Zavit, that corner of the house where the Rabim go there, but it's not, it doesn't have ease of use. Why isn't that corner similar to an extension of Rishut Rabim? Just like if you have a chor, a hole into the wall, that's classified as Rishut Rabim, why don't you say the same thing by this corner? That corner is no worse than Chorei Rishut Rabim. Okay, people don't walk there, but they can still utilize that area, and they can access it from the Rishut Rabim. So why is it any worse? So Hatam lo necha tashmishtei. Hacha necha tashmishtei. It's a difference in the ability to utilize it. Over there, that's open space. Nobody's going to leave their things there. Nobody's going to store anything there. It'll get trampled. It'll get walked on. It'll get taken. Chorei Rishut Rabim are something that have ease of use. They're up off the ground. They won't get trampled. People can stick things in there. There's reasons to say that that is much easier to utilize than the corner. So it's none. Mishnah, Zorek Dalamot Bekotel. We just mentioned this Mishnah before. You throw Dalamot Rishut Rabim and then it sticks to the Kotel. The Malami Yud, if it's above, for Zorek Be'avir. It's like throwing it in the air. The Matami Yud Tfachim below that, Kizorek Baritz. Vavinam Ba. Let me answer it. Mike Zorek Baritz. What does it mean? It's like throwing it on the ground. Halonach. It didn't land. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mitzvele Shmeina Shana. We're talking about a fat, pressed figs. And therefore, it's stuck to the wall because of its stickiness. When it says, "V'isak that chori shuter bim kushuter adamim," that means I have a much easier solution to your problem. If the holes in the wall are like a shuter bim, just say it landed in one of those holes. Why are you saying that it had to stick to the wall in order to be chayav? Lamele lukma bitzvel shmeina lukma bitzror v'chayfet zanach b'chor. Set it up with that pebble or some object that lands in this chor. So the Gemara said gives two answers. Zimna mishani la. Sometimes he answered this way. Shiny tzror v'chefetz demehader v'ati. Because they have bounce back. When you throw something that's not sticky against the wall, it doesn't settle in the wall. It bounces off the wall and comes out. So even if there's a whore, a little whore, hole there, it's going to hit there, ricochet out, and bounce away from it. It's not going to settle in there. That's just not the natural way of these objects. Zimnim mishani lo. Other times they give the answer. B'koltud le pechor. Talking about a wall that just doesn't have holes in it. How do you know that? How do you know a wall that doesn't have holes in it? Mimai, miniktani reisha, zorak lamala miyud tfachim, kizorek ba'avir. You throw it above that 10 tfachim, it's like throwing it into the air. V'isak adatka b'kol to'id b'achor, if you're talking about walls that have holes in them, amai kizorek ba'avir. Why is it like throwing it into the air? Hanach b'chor, it lands in a hole. Chitema, matzanitan delet b'hu dalet al dalet. We're talking about a case here where the chor is less than 4x4 tfachim. Therefore, it doesn't classify as a reshuti achid. If you threw it above 10 tefachim, and it lands in any hole over there, this is the machloket of Meir Rabbanon. The Meir Sabra chokukim lashlim. Meir believes that we carve out the area to look as if it's totally there. Rabbanon say no. I'll explain this in 1 second. Must be we're talking about a wall that doesn't have a chor in it. Rashi says the reason that we have to say that is that it's Stam Mishnah's Rabbi Meir here. And there we have a Stam Mishnah about the case where he threw it and stuck to the wall of the Dveilo. And if there was a chor there, then we'd have to subscribe to Rameir's opinion that chokukim lashlim. Chokukim lashlim is a principle that is mentioned in Erevin and Menachot and other places, which is that if you don't have the requisite space that you need in order to make something either chayav, a petach, a doorway, chayav and mezuzah, or you don't have an area that'll be a reshuti yachid. We look at the area as if it's carved out. If you have a certain minimum amount there, that is the area, then we look as if the area expands even into the solid areas. For instance, in a mezuzah situation, you have doorposts that go up, but they don't reach the requisite 10 tefachim, and it starts to have an archway that bends inward. So over there, you'd be patur mezuzah, because you don't have the requisite space for a doorway. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir says, we look at the archway as if it doesn't exist. Chukim Lashlim. We look as if we carve out that archway, make it into a squared out area, and you are chayav in mezuzah. Over there, Rabbi Meir says you have to have a minimum of 3 tefachim high off the ground. The doorposts have to at least start off 3 tefachim to separate it from the ground in order to say Chukim Lashlim, which makes this very problematic over here. Over here, the Gemara seems to think that it was a chor koshu, a little chor, and Rabbi Meir says Chukim Lashlim. We carve it out and say it's as if it's a reshut yachid, no matter what. Right, what are you chokek here? How do you know what the space is? How do you know how to expand it? So that's Rashi says it all has to do with Rabbi Meir's Shito and because it's a Stam Mishnah. The Tosafot disagrees and says that can't be because Rabbi Meir only says Chukim Lashlim when you have some minimum shiur that allows you to expand it to get to you the requisite shiur that you need. So you need at least something there. So Tosafot claims that these holes are actually 4x4 tefachim wide on the Reshut Yachid side and they narrow as they get to the Reshut Rabim side. So that's what the Chukim Lashmilim is, because on the Reshut Yachid side, they are 4x4 Tzvachim, and it is a Reshut Yachid. As they reach the Reshut Rabim, they narrow. So now the Chukim Lashlim is to make it as if the thing is totally wide out to the Reshut Rabim, and that's what the Chukim Lashlim is here. And that's why it's a Reshut Yachid, 4 Tzvachim deep,
and
narrows into a triangle, correct, as
like
it reaches the Reshut Rabim.
Right,
exactly, like in the Old City, the walls around the Old City that narrow as they go outward.
Right.
So now, above 10 Tzvachim, those are considered to be Chorei Reshut Yachid. But if they're below Asara, then the Reshut Yachid, people on the Reshut Yachid side don't use them because then it's no Achlu Reshut Rabim. The people on Reshut Rabim will use them. So when it's below 10 Tefachim, they're not considered to be real holes because people outside will use them because it's below 10 Tefachim, we said it's part of Reshut Rabim. And since they're going to utilize them, the people on the Reshut Yachid side don't use them. Above 10 Tefachim, where the Reshut Rabim side won't use them, then the Reshut Yachid side do use them, and therefore we say Chukim Lashlim if it lands in that hole above the 10 Tefachim, and it's as if it landed in there. So that's why we know that the case is not talking about a case of Chorim, of holes. Because if it was that case, you would have Machloket Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about the holes above 10 Tefachim, and if that's the case, then why didn't that get mentioned at all? Why isn't that relevant to the case? The fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention it at all shows you that we're not talking about a wall with holes in it. The Mishnah should have introduced there's a problem here.
Small holes.
Yeah, exactly. If there's small holes, everybody gets a Makom Torah. And that even Rabbi Meir would agree to, and the Chachamim would agree to. If it's 4x4, everybody agrees it's Reshut Yachid. The question is, if it's a like this narrowing part of holes, over there, one side is Reshut Yachid, the other side is a question whether you're Chukim Lashlim or not. If it's Chorim Koshu, then it'd be Makom Ptor going to everybody, and there'd be nothing to discuss here.
Since there's no location for it to be Nachan, for it to settle upon, it's a Makom Ptor, then why below 10 Tefachim are you Chayav? It didn't settle into a place that's Dalet by Dalet Tefachim. So the case can't be a case of Chor Koshu, because of below 10 Tefachim. Can't be a case of greater than 4 Tefachim, because everybody agrees that's Reshut Yachid.
So that can't be the solution to the problem. Solution to the problem has to be these wider holes that have at least 4x4 tefachim, and we say chokim lashlim, but there you have machloket Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim.
That should have been mentioned, at least in the Mishnah.
Right, because then where's that? Why isn't that mentioned? Why don't we have any information about that? So the fact is that it must be talking about a wall that just doesn't have holes in it, and that's why you have to come up with this Devei Lashmeinah, and that's why it's not a question on the position of Abaye, that chori reshut rabim, or ke reshut rabim dami.
If above 10 tefachim is useful for someone who's a private yachid, we know from our experience, it's much more comfortable actually above 10 tefachim than them. I've never understood that, except unless you claim that people were much shorter than.
Not much shorter, that they, when they stored things, they didn't want to have, things that are at eye level, you're not going to put there. Put it below where people aren't going to see it easily. So you put it down below where people aren't going to really see it. It's out of the reach, out of the normal spectrum of where people are looking. So you store it over there. On the inside, you'll do it at near eye level. You'll do it above 10 tefachim, which makes more sense. Now, Gufa, again, we mentioned something, so now we want to come back and investigate it. Amar Rav Chista Natz Kaneh, Birshut Yachid, person plants a beam or some sort of pillar in the Birshut Yachid, Bizarak Nachal Gabav, lands on top of it, Afilu Gva Me'ama, it's 100 Motol, Chayab, Mifnei Shirut Yachid, Ola Adarakia. Lamer Rav Chista Damar Karabi. Let's say Rav Chista subscribes to Rabbi's position, Tatanya. Zarak v'nach agabiziz. We saw this earlier. We brought this earlier in the Masechta. Throw something and it lands on some sort of protrusion from the wall. Kolchu, Rabbi Mechayev. Rabbi says you're chayav. Chachamim putrim. The chachamim say you're patur. So the havamina here is that we think it's a reshut yachid. And Rabbi says that even a kolchu is a reshut yachid. You threw it through the reshut rabim and it lands on this projection out of the wall. So we're thinking now that a reshut yachid is any koshu as long as it's in the airspace of the reshut yachid. And chachamim say patur. Amar Abaye, reshut yachid de kuli amalo plige. If it was a reshut yachid, everybody would agree. Kederav chista. The reshut yachid goes out of rakia. That's not the question here. Halacha be'ilan omed reshut yachid benofeh notel reshut rabim. This is what we said before. The be'ina lameimer lekaman. Like we're going to explain later on, this machloket according to Abaye, which is that you have a tree that's sitting the trunk of the tree is Rishut Yachid, and the branches extend into the Rishut Arabim. Over there we say, Vizarak Menachah Nofo, and it lands on the branches. The Rabbi said, Arminan Shtei Nofo Batari Karo. We said the branches are drawn after the base, the trunk of the tree. Rabbanan Savi Lo Arminan Shtei Nofo Batari Karo. We don't have the branches connect back to the original trunk. Again, there's Machloket Rashi and Tosafot what this means. Rashi says that the branches are like they're in Rishut Arabim, because they now have 4x4 space. Why do they have 4x4 space? Because they're an extension of the trunk. So they're not extension of the trunk to be classified as a Rishut Yachid. They're an extension of the trunk to gain this 4x4 Tefachim space. And now, since they're in the Rishut Terebim, they have a classification of Rishut Terebim. Tosafot says that can't be. If they're in the Rishut Terebim, and they're attached to this trunk, they are like the trunk, and they become like a Rishut Yachid. And that's the argument here. Is the branch a Rishut Yachid or not a Rishut Yachid? Is it an extension of the trunk or not? Everybody gives your Chayav when it's in the airspace of Rishut Yachid. That we're not talking about. Everybody agrees to that. The only question is, these branches that extend from a trunk in Rishut Yachid into Rishut Rabim. Over there, Rabbi says you're Chayav, the Chachamim say you're Patur. Rabbi says you're Chayav because the branches have the status of the trunk, and the Chachamim say you're Patur, the branches are independent of the trunk.
But how is Rashi doesn't?
Rashi doesn't say, what are you Chayav for? That's the difference between them. Rashi says you're Chayav for a mot in Rishut Rabim. Because it landed on something that's in the Rishut Rabim. Tosafot says Rabbi Yehuda thinks you're chayav for landing in Rishut Yachid, because it's part of the trunk now. It's an extension of the trunk. It's as if it landed in the Rishut Yachid.
The Chacham say patur because...
We don't say shtei nofo bartar gikaro. The branches are independent of the trunk. You don't have an arba, you don't have a nach, you don't have it settling on a place. Okay, we'll stop over here.